All right. Boker Tov, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. It's not Shabbat. What am I talking about? Shalom. But Boker Tov, I hope everybody is doing well this morning. I'm going to teach you something that we went over last night, but it's not. I'm going to try and teach it to you in a little bit more detail because I want you to know this. And I want you to understand very clearly the 7 years of tribulation that's about to come. Okay, because I really and truly want you to be prepared and ready for this 7 years. But this needs to be explained to you very well. Maybe I did a good job last night. I don't know. I don't really think so, because we never went to Nehemiah to explain where did this count come from. And we maybe passed over some things that you really need to know. So we're going to pray and we're going to get started. I wonder if I did have, no, I had a couple of letters from people that I wanted to read, but I don't have them here, so we'll have to do it next time. But I do thank you guys for all of your letters and your cards. And your support of the ministry. I really am very thankful for everything that you guys have done for us, me and Pastor Ben, other people at the church, other people that have that we've been able to help. We really appreciate what you're doing. I thank you. I really do. It's good to be able to minister to people without wondering where you're going to get it. it's like a pleasure to say, hey, I can help you with that. We can do that for you, you know, and it was a blessing. So thank you very much for all your giving and everything. Praise God. But I'm not going to do a telethon ever. So let the Holy Spirit lead you, because that's not me. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start us off in prayer, and I want to get, you know, this. My two main prayers in Hebrew are the Lord's Prayer, because I want the kingdom to come, okay? And the other one is the Shema Prayer, because the Shema Prayer says, this is how God expects you to love him. And so I love both prayer, but we're going to do the Lord's Prayer this morning because we are in year 120. The boat is finished. We're wondering what's going on. We're like, okay, God, the boat is finished, but the door is still open. You just give us the word. We'll close the door. And we know that day is coming. And so this is what I'm looking forward to. So let's pray this prayer. In Hebrew, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is the prayer that we are praying, okay? So I'm not speaking in tongues, I'm speaking Hebrew. Someone accused me of that. I was like, you're speaking in tongues, you're not supposed to be. We're supposed to understand what you said. I said, well, I think the people in Israel did understand what I said. Okay. Here we go. Avanu Shabbat Shabbayim Yikadesh Kimcha Tavo Mechuteke Yi Asero Tzanaka Be Aret Ke Asher Ne Asa Be Shamayim Tenlanu Hayom Lechumukeno Uselach Lanu Et Ash Meteno Ke Asher Solechem Menachnu Le Asher Ash Melanu Vial Tevienu De De Masa Ke Im Hatzilanu Min Hara Kilacha Hamamlecha Vehagivara Vehativ Eret Leolame Leolamim. Amen. Beshem Yeshua HaMashiach Anachnu Tefillim. And Bon Alek, let's get started, okay? We are going to go back to Daniel chapter 9 this morning, and because we went over Psalms, that how structured Psalms is to tell us what's going to happen each year during the 7 years of tribulation, with the ending part, Jesus, God proclaiming that I'm going to be returning with my sheaves, which is the saints or the church. I'm going to be returning with my sheaves. And so we see the whole 7 years has been been measured out in the book of Psalms, in the Psalm of Ascent, the Psalm of Mi'alah going up. In Psalms 120 to 127, we see the whole 7 years. Now, it's amazing how it is structured out from the beginning to the middle of the tribulation to the end. But one other thing that we need to know is why this 7 years? And how can we be assured that God is not concerned with Gentiles during the 7 years? Gentiles is not the focus of the 7 years of tribulation, okay? There is no dispensation of grace continuing through the 7 years, okay? Grace will have ended. I want you to understand that Noah backwards in Hebrew is grace. Grace ends. When the boat goes up, grace ends. And that's what the church people need to understand. That's what every Gentile needs to understand, because we're basking in grace. Oh, it's so beautiful. We can just like, I sinned, but I'm going to repent and I'm going to come back in line with God. And I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And all of this is what you call grace. Okay. This is the grace of God, that you are living in a time period where you can accept Jesus Christ. You can live under this dispensation of grace. If you should sin, you can repent and come back to the Lord and start your whole life all over again. And because of this grace that exists, but at sometimes grace disappears. Yeah. Grace disappears twice. At death, your grace disappears. Do you know that? Because you can no longer make a sincere repentant after death. Amen. So even the book of Ezra 2 tells us that when a person dies, grace and mercy, grace disappears, yeah, because they can no longer make a sincere, yeah, repentance. Okay. And grace also ends at the rapture, because now that dispensation is over. Now you're in the dispensation of the tribulation. Yes. And anybody who's coming in is not a part of called, which are those who are invited, chosen, the nation of Israel, and faithful, which are those who keep the confession of Jesus Christ even unto death. Yes. And so if you want to come in under that dispensation of the faithful, then you can. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to explain to you something, and I want to do it so slow that you can explain it to someone else, okay? Amen. So we're going to go back to Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to start there. One thing I used to love about Chuck Missler that everyone did not like, he really took his time to teach you. And that's what I want to do right now. I want to take this time to really teach you. So if you're in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, and it says here, 70 sevens are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgressions, to put an end to sin. They said, when this whole 70 sevens are over that belong to Israel, he said, there'll be no more transgressions. He'll put an end to sin, to put an end to sin, and to atone for wickedness. Okay. It'll bring an everlasting righteousness. Okay. When these 70 sevens are over, and to seal up the vision of the prophecy. And then it says, the prophecies will be done, and the Kadosh Kadoshim will be anointed, yes, which means the presence of God will be living inside of the temple, yes, at that time. Okay?
Verse 3.
What did we say in verse 3?
No, I'm at where you are. Verse 3.
No, no, I'm in Daniel chapter 9, and that's verse 24.
Okay. Thank you.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Okay, so all of those things are going to happen. So you have to know that this 70 sets of 7 years is going to finish the work of God.
Yes.
Okay? To the point where Yeshua is now living inside of the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Okay? That's what it's supposed to present. Okay? And that's what it's going to present, but he's going to give you now the process. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Mashiach Nagid, okay, the it says the anointed one, the ruler, and we're talking about the Messiah in Hebrew, it's the Mashiach Nagid, this Messiah, anointed Messiah comes, and he's coming as not just what? Anointed one, the ruler. So he has to come. But he can't, he has to come as the king.
Yes.
He has to come as the ruler, okay? So when he comes, it'll be a day that people understand that he's not only the Messiah, but that he is the king.
Yes.
And he says, when he comes, there will be seven sevens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and 62 sevens, okay? It will be built with streets and with trenches, but in a time of trouble. When the 62 sevens, at the end of the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off. And we talked about that last night, okay? But now we need to understand. We're talking about 69 sets of seven, okay? Which 69 times seven is 483. And when the 69 times seven, the 69 times 7 weeks are done, they saying the Messiah is going to be murdered and he's going to be killed. And it says, not only is he going to be killed, he's going to start a blood covenant by his death.
Mm-hmm.
So the word karat can only be applied to Jesus Christ. You understand? So he comes, he dies, he starts a blood covenant, and the 69 sevens are done.
Mm.
Now, the problem with this is that God decreed to Daniel and to Daniel's people 70 sevens. So there's one set of seven that is left over and left undone with that needs to be addressed. Okay? So now let's go back and find out where the decree came from. Because remember what he's saying here. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2. And where's my Bible? So I'm going to show you a book, credible book, The Coming Prince by Sir Robert Anderson, written, I think, in the 1800s, which shows you this gospel's been around a while, right?
Amen.
Okay, here we go.
Chapter 2,
and we are going to begin at the top here, okay? And it says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. This is Nehemiah talking. So the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? He says, this can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruin and its gates have been destroyed by fire? You hear that? So Nehemiah is sad because his people, the Jewish people, where they that their city has been destroyed, and their temple has been destroyed, and the gates have been destroyed by fire, and now he's ruling. Now he's under the servitude of this king, and he's saying, and he's the wine. He's the cupbearer for the king, right? And he brings this, and he says, and the king says to me, "What is it you want?" to Nehemiah. Then I prayed to God of heaven, and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me. So I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have a letter to the governor of Trans-Euphrates, so that they will provide safe conduct until I arrive in Judah, and may I have a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple, and for the city walls, and for the residence I will occupy." And it says, "And because the gracious hand of God was upon me, the king granted me, granted my request. So I went to the governor at Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letter. And the king had also sent armies and officers and cavalry with me."
Wow.
Wow. This letter was the decree to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay? That was the decree. 445 BC was the decree. Okay? So he gives him this letter, and now it says it will be rebuilt, but in troubled times. If you read the next verse, they have the scoundrel named Sanballat and all of his, the Hornites, and they hated the Jews. They were Arabs. They hated the Jews, and they kept seeing Nehemiah building all of this stuff, and they started spreading rumors and saying and trying to get them to stop from building. Nehemiah had a hard time trying to rebuild the city and the walls, okay? So we go back to Daniel chapter 9. That decree was in 445 BC. From that decree to the time that Jesus comes into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, declaring himself as king, not him declaring himself, but really he did, because he's the one who said, "Go get the donkey.
Yes.
Let me sit upon it and parade me through there." And the people started calling him king.
Yes.
So Jesus, and guess what song they were singing? "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it."
Wow.
They start singing this song. I think it's Psalms 118 or something. But they start singing this song that's declaring Jesus Christ to be king.
Wow.
Okay? So, and this is the 483rd year since the proclamation by the king to let Nehemiah rebuild the temple.
483?
This was the 483rd year.
Huh.
Okay? So now Jesus is, the decree has been issued, 445 BC, and now here we are in 32 AD or 33 AD or whatever you want to say, and now Jesus is coming into Israel, into Jerusalem. He's on a donkey, and they're declaring him to be king because he made this day. This is the door day that, how did Jesus, why did Jesus do this? Because he knew it was the time. Yeah. It was the day for him to come in and be seen as king of Jerusalem. Okay. And now the 483rd year since the decree to rebuild has now been fulfilled.
Wow.
So what's going to happen now? The Mashiach Nagid will be cut off. 4 days later, he's crucified for a capital crime, which they say. And with that crucifixion, he starts a blood covenant. So he fulfills the word karat right there.
Wow.
So now we're looking for something else, as the scripture says. After this, let's see.
Still in Nehemiah?
No, I'm going back to Daniel.
Where are you?
Verse 26.
226.
Yeah, chapter 9, verse 26. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. After the 62 and 7, the anointed one will be karat, cut off, and will have nothing. The people of the ruler will come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. After Jesus died in 70 AD, the king, the Roman guards came and destroyed the city and the sanctuary, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now he goes forward. He says the end, meaning the end of the 70th seven, mm-hmm. the end will come like a flood. So he's saying when the very end comes, it's going to come like a flood, yeah. Which of course Psalms says, thank you, Father God, for saving us from the flood.
Yes.
Okay? But he's telling you in Daniel, he's going to come like a flood. Okay? The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end. Desolations have been decreed. That means he's going to defile the temple. And it says, this same person, he will confirm a covenant with the many for 1:7. Okay, so if you want to know where the other seven went, there's coming a Antichrist who's going to declare the beginning of the last 7 years of Daniel's promise of 77s, yeah. Since we only saw 483. You understand?
Amen.
So he will confirm a covenant with the many for 1:7. Then it says, in the middle of that 7 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offerings. Okay. In the middle of what 7 years?
Tribulation.
The tribulation. So don't say, oh, he put an end to sacrifice when he died on the cross, because now you're making up scripture, because this particular timeline is dealing with a particular time from the decree to his death. And then now it goes forward to tell you what's going to happen when the last 7 years is decreed upon them.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, this last 7 years, he confirms the covenant, but in the middle of the covenant, he tells them, you can no longer do sacrifices. Who's sitting in the temple in the middle of the, in the
Antichrist?
Antichrist is sitting in the temple, and he tells the Jews, you can no longer do sacrifices anymore, because they won't bow down and see him as being God, because he's going to declare himself to be God. Okay, but now since they refuse him, the scripture says God is going to tell Israel to flee. Okay, when you see this, flee Jerusalem. Why? Because now is going to become trouble like the world has never seen when this happens. Okay, war has been decreed all the way to the end. And guess what God is going to do? He's going to give them a safe place to be,
yeah.
So that God can protect the nation of Israel, yeah. So that a remnant can survive.
Praise God.
In the middle of the tribulation, he tells them, get out of there.
Mm.
Okay? So now, he says that... He says, And in the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wings of the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes his desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him, until he is completely destroyed at the end of the seven-year tribulation. So, why do I want you to know and understand that? Because that is a solid scripture. That is letting you know that the 7 years, first of all, does not belong to Gentiles.
Right.
Because the decree is given to who? Daniel and your people. Mm-hmm. This is given to you, Daniel, and your people. So the 7 years of tribulation has nothing to do with the church or the Gentiles. You understand? That's why they call it the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
They don't call it the time of the trouble of the church. It's the time of Israel's trouble. It's also called their labor pains, because through that 7 years of tribulation is Israel's labor pain to now give birth to her children that belong to the Messiah who died for them on the cross to give birth to them.
Amen.
But now he's trying to give them a new covenant. And this is what this is all about. The new covenant. Now he's going to come back and he's going to forgive them. So that's why I'm going to go back to Zechariah chapter 14. I hope you guys are getting good Bible understanding now. Now, this book right here, Sir Robert Anderson, The Coming Prince, I have this page still tagged, okay? From 445 B.C. To the time that Christ, it says the 14th of March, 445 B.C., okay? And it not only counts the years, in his count, he counted the exact days that it would take for the Messiah to come. And the Messiah fulfilled this to the exact day, 173,880 days, he said, until the Messiah comes as king, you know, from 445 B.C. So understand that this whole book is about the coming prince, that coming, not Jesus, the coming false prince, right? Because the coming prince that came at the 483 died on the cross. But there's a false prince that's coming that's going to confirm the covenant, okay?
Yes.
So
Zechariah, what chapter and verse?
Zechariah chapter 14. And we're going to begin to read here at verse 3. To 5. And we're going to, hopefully we'll get really good understanding here. Okay? Here we go. The day of the Lord. Okay, here we go. It says, the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fought in the days of battle. And on that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for it will extend to Azel. You will flee as you fleed in the day of the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all of his holy ones with him. You hear that? So he's coming, but as Psalms chapter 26 says, the one who left in sadness will indeed return with his sheaves to rescue the nation of Israel. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So Psalms 126, the very last verse, is letting you know that the one who left is coming back, and he's coming back with the church. He's coming back with the sheaves. He's coming back with the barley harvest, with the wheat harvest.
Yeah.
He's returning with us, okay? And so here it confirms that by saying what? He will come and all his holy ones or all his saints with him, okay? On that day, there will be no light, no cold, no frost. It will be a unique day without daytime or nighttime, a day known to the Lord. When evening comes, there will be light. So this is going to be, the day of the Lord is going to be a very unique day. But you need to understand that he's coming back at the end of that 7 years, okay? And that 7 years belongs to someone. That's what you want to know, okay? You don't have to think about a mid-trib when you understand that the 7 years belong to Israel, okay? The whole reason why he's telling you that the 7 years belongs to Israel is when we go and we read something like Romans chapter 11, and it's telling us what? Don't be arrogant, right? This will all continue. This is what Romans chapter 11 is telling us in verse 25. I do not want you Gentiles to be ignorant of this mystery, my brother, so that you may be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. And so all of Israel will be saved. So he says, after the Gentiles akomahi, they leave and go into the city, all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. Okay? The deliverer, just what we just read in Zechariah, the deliverer will come from Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob, Israel, right? And this is God. He said, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Okay. So God's plan is at the end of the 7 years, after I remove the Gentiles out of there and they go into the city, I will come and rescue all of Israel.
Yes.
Okay. I want to go back to Isaiah because yesterday, last night, we did not read all of Isaiah, which the Lord wanted me to read. And he wanted me to read all the way from Isaiah 66, verse 7 through 16.
Isaiah 66?
Isaiah 66, verse 7 through 16. Do not let me stop reading till I get to verse 16, because I stopped last night and the Lord's like, you didn't finish it. Okay. All right. Verse 7. Here is verse 7. Verse 7 says this. And he's talking about Israel. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pain comes upon her, she delivers a son. That is a direct reference to Revelation chapter 12, which says he saw this woman give birth to a son. It's a double prophecy. First is Mary who gave birth to Jesus, and it's also Israel who gives birth to the church. Okay? But he's saying Israel gives birth to the church before the tribulation. That's what this is saying. It says, who has ever, it says, before she goes into labor or before the tribulation even comes, she gives birth. She gives birth, and before the pain comes upon her in the tribulation, she delivers a son. Who? The church. Where? Out of the earth. And it says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Stop. Okay, that's verse 8. That whole sentence says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Do the gematria on it. It is 888. And it says, who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be born, brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor, now she's in labor, than she gives birth to her children. Okay, who is that? The nation of Israel. Once she goes into labor, now she's going to give birth to her children. He says, do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice greatly with her. All you who mourn over her, for you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply, delight in her overflowing abundantness, because God is going to bless them. Okay? And it says, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river.
Yeah.
God's going to bring peace. The first covenant comes from the Antichrist, which is a false covenant of peace. Here God's saying, I will extend peace to her like a river, and wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arms and dangled on her knee.
Yes.
As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servant, but the fury will be shown to his foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind, and he will bring down his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and with his sword, the Lord will execute judgment upon all men, and many will be those slain by the Lord.
Mm.
So when Jesus comes back to rescue Israel, and remember, when he comes back, who he's coming back with?
Us.
We're behind him. I don't know if we have to even lift a finger, because with the breath of his mouth, he destroys nuclear weapons, he destroys armies, he destroys everything, because they're going to gird up to fight against the Lamb of God.
Woo!
But they're going to find out nuclear weapons is a puff to God. He could actually just let the sun do it.
Yeah.
And the sun's going to do it. But listen, he can destroy them like that. And that's what Satan has forgotten, that the God that created angels and men also created the sun, the galaxies, and everything. But one thing Satan has not forgotten, prophecy always comes true.
Right.
So in the midst of this 7 years coming into fruition, and in the midst of understanding this 7 years, because Satan was there during the time of Nehemiah. Satan knew when the Messiah came. Satan saw him get up and resurrect, okay? In the midst of all this, Satan saw Israel being rebirthed. Satan saw Israel get Jerusalem back. You understand? So he's seeing all this prophecy, and what does he do? He says, I have a 7-year period that's coming. And they don't know the hour, but I do. What? Because Jesus said to the demons when they come out, and what did they say? Are you here before the appointed time?
Yeah.
So somebody knows the appointed time.
Knows.
The only people who aren't interested and don't want to know the appointed time are Christians.
Yeah.
They just want to have church.
Yep.
While the other side saying, we're operating on a timeline. You're operating off of foolishness because you think this whole thing's going to last forever. But in their foolish, in their wisdom of knowing time, you know what Satan has done? He said, I've been through this before. Okay. And the first time I went through this, I was only able to kill 6 million Jews. Now, at that time, what he did, he says, well, if I'm going to have control over these Jews from 1939 to 1945, I had better build concentration camps because I can't just kill them in the street. I'm going to need a place to kill them. OK, so he creates concentration camps so that he could take them there and do the murders there. And then it doesn't look as bad to the society of what he's doing. So in 2006, when Halliburton began to build concentration camps, and I warned everybody they're building concentration camps, people were saying I was crazy. Then governor of Minnesota had this television show, and he showed that on the concentration camps, they had 500,000 caskets. Okay, so now we see, my goodness, Satan is planning for the 7 years. Do you think that would wake the church up and go, if he's planning, we need to plan to get out of here?
Yeah.
No, we're still not planning to get out of here. What are we planning on? My breakthrough, my financial blessing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Building my church, my next financial move to get people to go to Israel with me so I can get part of their money and get that commission.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Come on, we got to tell the truth about what these people are doing, because as Christians leaders, we're marketing God's people. We like, there's a lot of them. We can get them to go to Israel under our banner that I'm going to Israel and you can come with me. And now I get 20 people. I get $1,000 per person. I just made $20,000. You went to Israel. And now the whole thing is not about you going to Israel and experiencing God. It's about you going to Israel so that I can profit. So we profiting off of God's people with this. This is not supposed to be.
Wow.
Get a job.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying is the time we're living in, people have forgot about the 7 years. They forgot that it belongs to Israel. They forgot it is not a time of grace. They forget that it is a 7-year tribulation that God is getting back to dealing with Israel to give them the last 7 years so that he can do what at the end of the 7 years? So he can come and rescue them.
Yeah.
And bring his sheaves with them.
Yes. Amen.
So I'm trying to give you sound, strong advice concerning the tribulation. Amen. There is no such thing as a mid-trib rapture.
No such thing.
Because then you would have to say that Israel doesn't get the 7 years back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get 7 years. They get 3.5 years. So then that means God's cheated them out of one of the 7 years that was promised to Daniel. They promised Daniel's 77s, and he only got 69 of them. And then in Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to go there real fast.
Say it again, Luke.
Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 19. God says what? It is blind. It is hidden from your sight. Watch this. Is that it?
Pastor, somebody wants to know, will anybody survive the tribulation?
Yes. Some people are going to survive. And God will say, you stand over here, all you.
The goats, yeah.
Then he's going to separate the sheep from the goat.
Mm.
He's going to separate those who have a confession on their lips for Jesus Christ and those who still have the mark and are running around trying to survive. Right? And he's going to say, you come into my everlasting kingdom and you go into Hades, go into damnation forever. Right. So, yes, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to survive the tribulation. I don't know a lot. I know there's a lot that end up in heaven that were killed during the tribulation.
Yeah.
So the tribulation is a very horrible time. And the horror that you're going to see, I don't think God really emphasized it in the scripture, although he does by telling you that the people that are going to be killing people are going to be inhabitants and not humans, that you're going to see the Nephilim return upon the earth.
Yes.
And so my thing, get back to this. There's a time that is coming upon the world that belongs to Israel. It is a 7-year period that God promised Daniel that belongs to Israel. 69 of them were used up. They have one more set of 7. That 7 belongs to Israel. God, when he removes the Gentiles, is getting back to dealing with Israel. That's their 7 years.
Yes.
You're not supposed to be here. Okay? Let me see if this is Daniel 19 that declares this incredible thing here. Is it 19? When he enters, blah, 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 blah. And he says, hi, but now it is blinded. Oh, here it is. Chapter 19, let's start at verse 39.
Daniel 19:39.
Yeah, Daniel 19:39. Now, this is what it says. It says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Why? Because they're all calling him the King of Kings. They're all like, they're marching him in. This is the 10th of Nisan. And everybody's going, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace to heaven and glory in the highest. They're singing this song. They're singing songs, right? And then the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And he says, I tell you, he replies, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Yes.
And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The day will come. The day will come upon you when your enemies will embark against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the wall, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God coming to you. Not his son. You didn't recognize the time that God came to you. Okay? But he said, now it's blinded from your eyes.
Yes.
Okay? So now I'm gonna teach you one little thing, and then we're gonna watch this. Now watch this. Let me see if I have that. Okay. Now watch this. And then you'll understand why Israel is on year 57, 5999 or whatever. Their years are off from ours, okay? The Jews do not count the years that they were disobedient to God, okay?
Oh, they don't?
No. So this is it. Now check this out. It says, from Abraham, so they start this from Abraham, in the time of Abraham to the time of the Exodus was 505 years. But the whole Ishmael problem with the other wife took 15 years of disobedience. Okay? So when he slept with the Egyptian maidservant and had Ishmael, that whole thing took 15 years. So the Jews did not count that as part of their time.
Wow.
But if you add 15, if you subtract the 15, you have 490 years. So 505 years from the Abraham to the Exodus was 505 years. But since the 15 years was in disobedience, if you take that off, it would be 490 years. Okay? Mm-hmm. From the Exodus to the temple was 601 years. But all the servitudes they did in the book of Judges and all of this, all that disobedience was 111 years. Okay? So the 601 minus the 111 year would be 490 years. From the temple to the decree of Artaxerxes, what we just read, from the temple, from the building of the temple to the time of Artaxerxes gave the letter to Nehemiah was 560 years. But the whole thing that happened in Babylon was 70 years, so they don't count that. Minus the 70 from 560, you have 490 years. From the decree of Artaxerxes to Jesus was 483 years. But if you add the 7 years of tribulation, you get 490 years, and that will complete Israel's 490 years.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
God has it laid out.
Perfectly.
So what am I saying? We need to be prepared to leave because that time doesn't belong to us. Ain't nothing promised to you in the tribulation.
That's true.
Nothing's promised. They said, he who must be killed must be killed.
Yeah.
Okay? If you have faith, you're going to come into salvation by a stance of your own faith that you believe in Jesus, even if they say, we're going to chop your head off. You have to still maintain your confession that you believe in Jesus. And you have to not take the mark, which means you can't eat or buy or sell or do anything. So you're not supposed to be living in that time. And there's Nephilim around, and they're killing people, and there's wars, and there's famines, and there's
earthquakes.
And now we barely can keep it together. We get a little 4.2. Now, what you're going to feel in the tribulation is absolutely crazy, and you don't need to be a part of that.
Amen.
So the 7 years is coming. This is your opportunity to say, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus now.
Yes.
And I'm going to put my faithfulness in Jesus now, because faith has two meanings. One in Hebrew that says that you are loyal to God with everything you do. Emunah, okay? Complete loyalty to God. And then the other faith is to believing something that what Christ did on the cross and to believe it and to accept it into your heart, even though you haven't seen it, that is a different type of faith, okay? So God wants you to have both. Emunah, faithfulness, and the faith to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. All right.
Beautiful.
So I hope you guys got more clarity from the Bible study of last night. And I want you to know I am going to stay on this battlefield, fighting with you, giving you truth, exposing lies,
yeah,
so that people can't market you and use you as a Christian servant until they, because as pastors, we're supposed to be servants, not get served, okay?
Amen, that's the truth.
So, I guess I should pray out, huh, Pastor
Amen.
Ben? I should pray out. Now, I don't know if a lot of people are seeing this now, but I hope everybody, and if you're watching it, send it to somebody and say, you need to get the complete clarity on this, okay?
Amen.
Because everybody needs to understand this clarity on the 7 years, because we have to be gone when it hits.
Amen.
And it's coming 2020.
Pastor Sandy, two
yes.
things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Rahel T. Roca,
uh-huh.
thank you so much, pastors, for all your work. This is beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Lori Price, and Pastor Bev, please ask Pastor Sandy about left behind stuff. She wants to know what's the deal with being left behind. What encompasses that?
What with being left behind?
Yeah, what is that exactly?
Left behind is the word left, I can't think of the word lifame, I think, in the Greek, which means that God has divorced you. Okay? It doesn't mean that you didn't know God, because that means it means that you knew God, but you were living a lukewarm lifestyle, a lifestyle with no oil, a lifestyle of complacency in Christ. You were living this style. And those people, God says, okay, I'm going to take which is Pedro Lombano, I'm going to take, which means as a friend or a companion, I'm taking you into heaven, okay, to be a friend or a companion, Pedro Lombano. That is the word that is used as I'm going to take. One will be taken and the other one will be left. I think it's lifame, which means that the others will be divorced. It goes to the reading of Matthew chapter 25. You have 10 virgins. They're all waiting on Jesus. Five are taken and five are left. Why? Five had no anointing. That means they took their life of their relationship with God complacently, lukewarm. And the other five had oil in their lamp and they were ready. The five that were ready went in. The five that were not did not get in and came back trying to get in. And God said, I don't know you now. Right? So now, understand, being left behind has to do with the lifestyle of the person who says they know Jesus. Left behind is not something for Gentile, for people who don't know God, because they were never invited to the wedding and they never accepted Jesus Christ. So they were never on their way to the wedding feast. To miss the wedding feast means that you have to accept the invitation. God cannot divorce a person that he has never been married to. So that's why the word left has to do with a divorce. Okay? Now, this is why I'm telling Christians, and I'm fighting against this lie of once saved, always saved, because as long as that lie permeates the Christian community, people will think my lukewarm, complacent Christian life and me indulging in the world has nothing to do with my salvation because I already accepted Jesus. And then that lie will land you on earth during the 7 years because we're supposed to take this walk seriously, yeah. Okay? We're supposed to be engaged in this relationship with God. And we're not supposed to be halfway in the world and halfway in God. You know what I mean? Partying on the weekend, going to church on Sunday. You know, and so God is saying, look, here's the warning. Let's get it together. This is the time. Now repent. Come back to me. Live like you're supposed to live. Okay? Repent. If you have problems that you're fighting in with sin, you can still repent because you're in a time of grace. You can stay in repentance. But you cannot live a lukewarm lifestyle, okay?
And she wants to know, is there anything you believe for the people that did not believe, that were lukewarm, that didn't take God seriously? Is there anything you can leave for them?
I don't know. But I know one thing, whatever we can leave for them, it's not going to help. Mm-hmm. Because the book of Revelation says, he who has to be killed will be killed, and he who has to. So the basic thing is that the world will know at that time that something has happened, yes. And the whole world will know that an evil leader has come, yep. And there will be deception. But the whole world, but the people that knew Christ but were lukewarm will know what happened,
yep.
And they will tell people this is what happened. Okay, so. People need to be warned, and they not. And I don't want to warn you for what's after. I want to warn you, but to leave before.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Amen.
Praise God.
Good work.
Love you. I love you. You know, sometimes, you know, if you love somebody, sometimes you got to tell people the truth when you love them. And. You hope that they take it very well. Praise God.
Amen.
And God said to Moses, when you bless my people, say these words to them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Enjoy your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Enjoy every day. We are leaving. Welcome to the 120th year. God bless you. Yivarekka.